Oh, it is so good to get hot water down on top of your back. To get really warm water coming on top of you. I mean, if you've been having cold showers every day, and one day you decide that it's time for a hot shower, then that's the day your life moves. You know, upmarket. Yeah. I mean, cold showers are where it's at, we all know. It's obviously the best thing for you. Humans have mainly had cold showers. Life has been predominantly a cold shower, has been the human experience. Only very recently the hot showers come on the scene at all. First of all, hot showers were the province of the powerful. Now, as a result of the revolution, hot showers can reach the masses. And the problem with showers these days are that you have so many alternatives for washing your hair. And when you got lousy eyesight, you have difficulty telling what's a conditioner and what's a blooming and what's a hair wash stuff, you know? Now, I'm using Head and Shoulders, right? I'm using Head and Shoulders because yonks ago, when I was a teenager, it promised me a solution to a problem. It actually promised me peace of mind. It promised me, you know, undistracted attention on the object of attraction. In other words, it promised to save me the embarrassment of those flaky white things that you'd be desperately afraid of. The object of your lust would notice. So basically, I became a Head and Shoulders guy a long time ago. To be honest, I think the Head and Shoulders brand, and from this perspective, I think the brand is a promise. The Head and Shoulders brand is that it will actually make sure that my hair, or that my head, doesn't start disintegrating. In other words, scalp flaky. But that's not far from disintegrated head. And so in fact, you could say that Head and Shoulders is good for intelligence. You know, it kind of pulls it all, a cranium inside which the brain is located, is kept intact by Head and Shoulders. Funny thing about brands, isn't it really? They promise us things. In fact, in the old days I used to think that brands were promises, but now I think, ever since I read the Clue Train Manifesto, ever since Clue Train Manifesto 1999, if I remember rightly, Proposition one, certainly in the first four propositions of the Clue Train Manifesto, got me thinking about conversation and how stuff you think is out there and you're here and it's out there. That model, which is a perfectly coherent model, perfectly coherent set of spectacles, doesn't illuminate so much as the conversation model. The Clue Train Manifesto was a revolution, and I believe in respecting manifestos. So I'm going to honour the Clue Train Manifesto people who told me ages ago that it's possible to see things in terms of conversations. Now, how does this connect with Head and Shoulders? See, Head and Shoulders is a conversation. I mean, or to the extent to which it is a conversation, it gets more and more successful. First of all, it's the conversation, if you like, that the consumer has as they're looking along the array of products in front of them in a supermarket, all of which kind of offer to do the same thing. But it's the conversation that Head and Shoulders promotes inside the mind of that consumer. So, you know, it's things like, oh, I remember. I remember Joe used to use Head and Shoulders. He needed it, mind you. Or, you know, so-and-so is Head and Shoulders above anybody else. And then you get into things like standing on the shoulders of giants. And you get the kind of resonances that brand names have in conversations. I mean, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I mean, if I told you that that was where the where Steve Jobs got the name Apple from, you know, and he was keen to keep some doctor away, that would at least be an amusing made-up story. But the great thing is that the name opened up the possibility of stories. And you know, as we all know, the key thing about a story is not whether it's true. It's about whether it's engaging. Now, children would answer this, would explain this to you much better than anybody else. And in my humble opinion, having just come back from Lourdes, as an unbeliever, one of the great things the Bible has going for it is that it's a fabulous story. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. In fact, it's more important that you find it engaging than the intellectual issue or the judgmental issue about whether I believe that, you know, Joshua walked around the walls and really did blow all those trumpets and things did fall down. So there we are, a little conversation this morning. A little shower successfully completed, and there's a lot to be said for hot water.